Is sexual assault a major problem on college campuses? A lot of powerful people think so. Activists, documentary filmmakers, and even the Obama administration are pushing for policies that take away accused students' due process rights. But what if everything the government thought it knew about campus rape was actually wrong? For more than a decade, policymakers have worked off the assumption that 90% of college rapists are serial predators who plan out their attacks beforehand. It's based on a 2002 study by psychologist David Lisak, who surveyed 1,800 men at a commuter school about their histories of sexual violence. The subjects of Lisak's study weren't asked specifically about rapes they committed in college. In fact, the subjects weren't even all students. And yet this deeply misleading research is cited in The Hunting Ground, a documentary about campus rape, in Jon Krakauer's book on the subject, Missoula, and even by the White House's anti-rape task force. Dr. Mary Koss is co-author of a new study that disputes Lisak's work, and Lisak is doing everything he can to discredit it.
The group of people I worked with were interested in examining the serial rape assumption because it's been around for a long time. The last study was in 2002. The serial rape hypothesis is widely used. It's a foundation for how campus police think about who they're looking for. The campus judicial response is oftentimes designed in ways that assume a serial predator. Policy, even at the federal level, is also makes frequent reference to serial predators. Well, we found that there were three patterns that men showed, and there wasn't the fourth. The fourth that we didn't find was the consistently high pattern of men raping over and over again over time. If colleges and policymakers continue to focus on a serial rapist conceptualization, they're going to miss more than three quarters of the rapes that happen on campus. They're going to end up with a policy that's directed at a much smaller proportion of the problem than what we had previously believed based on Dr. Lisak's 2002 paper. We sent the research to the Journal of the American Medical Association because we thought it was important work, and at the same time we wanted it to have the highest level of scrutiny for its soundness as science. The immediate response was pretty positive. However, a group of people, including Dr. Lisak and James Hopper, expressed concerns about the paper. In fact, there were a few errors in coding that they helpfully identified for us, and we were able to correct them so that the published version of the article has these small errors corrected, and the effect on the results was it made them stronger in opposition to the serial rape hypothesis. The editors gave us a good going over. We reran all the analyses. We reran an additional analysis that they requested. They re-reviewed the entire paper. The decision was that the paper is sound, it stands, the interpretations are supported by the findings, and that the implications were logical given the findings. So we thought that was going to be the end of it. Unfortunately, a research misconduct, a case has been opened by Dr. Hopper and his colleagues.
Dr. Koss is confident her team's research will stand up to additional scrutiny. And she has good reason to think that, given it's already survived a comprehensive re-review conducted by JAMA at Lisak and Hopper's request. Now, Lisak and Hopper are within their rights to call for further investigation, but it's worth asking whether anything could convince them at this point that their theory is flawed.